This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. And oh my God, you guys, you know that I love a luxurious set of sheets. And I now have such a set of sheets because of a Miracle Made. They are bedding that has been inspired by NASA. They've got silver-infused fabrics that actually make temperature regulating a thing. So you're not like getting too hot or too cold or whatever, you know, the whole thing that happens with your body's temperature losing its mind. Miracle Made helps with that. One of the little things that my husband particularly loves about Miracle Made is that it like doesn't have as much bacteria as regular sheets because of it's infused with this silver that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So it leaves the sheets cleaner for longer. And then the thing for my husband is that it doesn't give him acne, which is like an issue for some people. But more than all of that, it's just luxuriously comfortable and delightful, and it has that cooling feeling while also being cozy. Very hard to achieve those two things at the same time. I mean, Miracle Made, come on, well done. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and buy some sheets today. And if you order today, you can save 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION at the checkout, and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. So there's just a lot of savings here, folks. Order today. You'll get 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION. And Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, which I don't see happening, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Fake the Nation, episode 285.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about culture, and where we continue to just enjoy the holiday season. We're right in that middle space between Christmas and New Year's. If you are not going hard at the holidays right now, I don't know what. So we have assembled a couple of really fantastic conversations. They're just two conversations from this year that I have really loved. So let's get into it with topic number one. For today's topic, we are joined by New York Times bestselling writer and internet creator extraordinaire, Connor Franta. Hey, Connor.
Hello.
And we're also joined by a comedian whose album, So You Just Out There, is available for you to experience and enjoy, Shalewa Sharp. Hey, Shalewa.
Hello.
Okay, so we read about this woman who, at 105 years old, did the 100-meter dash. She broke a record, but then was unimpressed by it because she wanted to do it in 110 seconds, but she did it in 129 seconds. And then she was asked, like, by a reporter, oh, you know, you at least did it in the number, you know, in a time less than your age. And does that make you feel better? And she just went, no.
I love her.
Yo, Connor, what did you think about this lady?
Well, first of all, I'm a runner, so I was like, oh, immediately gravitating towards any story about runners. But I thought she was just, yeah, I thought it was just fantastic that one, she's 105, correct?
Yeah.
I think mm-hmm. she's 105 and still out there doing, you know, truly amazing things, especially athletic things at 105. But then to like reach such an amazing goal that anybody would be happy with and to not be happy with it, like that just is, it's like beautifully poetic that you can do amazing things, but you can always strive for something better and to never be, I guess, like complacent in some sort of way, or to be accepting of just like, oh, this is just it. I did the good thing. Now
right.
it's done. I loved her.
I mean, she's great. You should also definitely look at the article because it's in The Guardian. She's got like a flower in her hair. Like she looks great physically for 105. I was like, holy shit, right? And
But I, special thanks to Andrew Heaton, a Fake the Nation alum, who brought me this article. We talked about it on one of his shows, and I was just like, oh, I have so much to say about this. It's endless. So I wanted to talk about it here. One thing I said to Andrew was just like, is there a point, though, in your life that you can stop being disappointed in yourself? You know what I mean? Shalewa, what did you think of this woman and her self-disappointment?
I think that if she is still running at 105, there is no point where you stop being disappointed in yourself. Mileage may vary on that. Maybe when you hit like 90, you might be like, I'm good. But if you are 105 and you're like, I'm going to keep running, you probably will not be happy with your time. You know what I mean? Because that is what is keeping you going. And that is fantastic on one hand, but as someone who is definitely planning on calling it at like 75, like
I'm 29 just, and I'm there.
Yeah, that's it. After that, I sit. What I do is sit. I am surprised and a little sad that is the case, but that's probably how she's kept moving throughout life. You know what
Connor,
I mean?
Connor, explain runners to me.
No, that's an excellent question. What
you know
is
what I mean?
The deal?
I do need to understand something more about runners, and you are one.
Okay,
what
listen,
is the deal?
Listen. I'm a marathon runner, so I'm a specific
Shut
type
up,
of crazy.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I'm a specific type of crazy here.
How many of you run?
My entire family runs.
Oh my
so
God.
we're not the family that's like we're looking forward to the Thanksgiving 5K. We're the family that would do it like despite the holiday. I like would go home to visit my family and be like, so who's going out for like a quick 8 miles?
Oh my
not
God.
Minutes?
Okay.
So we're very unique in that sense. It's like a culture, I guess, in a way that I've grown up around, but not in like a competitive way. It's not like if you don't do this, we will shun you. It's more we just all like it. It's a fun activity we do together. But I don't know. There's nothing like a runner's high. There, like, of course, if you were to first start running, the first few weeks, months would be horribly tragic. It's painful. But once you get into the motion and the swing of things, I find it to be therapeutic and the closest thing to meditation I've ever met with. That when I really get into that like first 2 miles of running and I like get into the rhythm, I kind of stop thinking about what I have left in the day, the world around me. I just zone out. And for like a moment in the day, it just is so peaceful.
And it takes you 2 miles to get there?
Yeah, how long?
Oh, yeah,
it
took me miles. Oh, it takes to shut off my brain. I'm lucky it's only 2 miles.
Okay, and so then are you the kind of person that occasionally times yourself to see what you're doing and how harshly you should be judging yourself?
So I'm a little bit more unique in that too, that I don't bring my phone with me and I don't run with a watch. I just have like my routes mapped out in my head. So I go completely with nothing, which I think has been a great exercise as someone who's on his computer all day, on his phone all day, to really disconnect. I really do feel like no one could reach me even if they wanted to.
Right.
Love that for me.
Okay,
yeah.
Prefontaine, sounds... I see you. All
right. Yeah, a little Prefontaine. Yeah. I have a cat named Prefontaine, so you know that's the level.
Okay.
That's the level.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I loved that she was the meditative aspect, I get that. And I exercise. I just don't run. I've never been able to run comfortably long enough that I can get to that point, I think. I think I've gotten more to that point in a dance class.
Listeners
of Fake the Nation know that I do some like Miami booty dancing on my own and
again.
Under the
insert stripper pole here.
Where are my tap dancers? Who's out here just shuffleball changing their way to enlightenment? Where are those
here
folks
tap dancing into a meditative state? That I would like to meet you.
I
tap danced as a child. Are you a tap dancer?
I started tap dancing when I was like 30 because I always wanted to. And so I started taking tap dancing lessons at 30, which my knees were like, that's insane. But when
did you stick with it?
I did for a while. I haven't in quite some time. But when I moved from Atlanta to New York at a smooth 40 years old, I brought my tap shoes just in case anyone needed it from me.
I'm moving to where
Broadway is, and I'm going to take, you know, my spotty years of tap that I just started, you know, just in case someone needs a little rat-a-tat-tat from a middle-aged woman on a basement comedy show.
I feel like everyone needs a little rat-a-tat-tat, you know, from a middle-aged woman specifically.
You carry them with you everywhere, and it's just in case the opening app doesn't show up.
Yep, like, exactly.
Does anyone have a hidden talent? Does it? And you pull it, you're like, this is my time.
I did once see Savion Glover, and he said, did anyone bring tap shoes with you? And I was like, oh no, I did, but I'm not tapping with Savion Glover. And a little girl was like, I did. And I said, that's really what the people want to see. That's much cuter than a 45-year-old woman like me. And then I struggle to get up the stairs. I can't
do
that.
Oh my God, I love that you're a secret tap dancer. One of the things that I feel like is cute about me and my husband is that we have taken, like, we used to go semi-regularly to a salsa class here in the East Village of New York City because it's like my dream for us to be like octogenarian competitive salsa dancers. Like, that's kind of what I want for my retirement years, which, again, who wants to see 85-year-old Nagin like moving her hips to Latin beats?
Absolutely, I do.
That is, yeah, thank
I was
you.
Like, I'm there, yeah, front absolutely. Row, I'm there. What are you talking about?
If you're 80 and you're moving your hips, I want to be there to support you.
No, thank you so much. And honestly, if we're getting into it now, by the time we're 80, I feel like we should have a couple of good moves to show off. I feel like it really makes a lot of sense. One more interesting thing about this this woman who's 105 is that she started competing at the National Senior Games when she was 80, specializing in cycling. So I found this very inspiring that just like she had a goal at 80. I think there's two things going on. One, she's very critical of herself, which is a quality I would like to shed by tomorrow, if that's possible. But if that's not possible, at least by 80, I don't want to be self-critical anymore. Like, please, God, is there a way that we can make that happen for me? But the other thing that's happening is that she has goals, which is so inspiring, and that you should never get rid of your goals. And she said, I want to keep running as long as I can. My message to others is that you have to stay active if you want to be healthy and happy as you age. And I literally emailed my parents this article like 3 seconds after I read it, because I was like, this is the most important thing I've read in a long time. I'm inspired by this woman, and my parents need to be inspired as well. What did you kind of take away? Did you feel things in your heart after reading about her?
I mean, that whole, like, what you just said about starting late but having goals, I wouldn't mind having a goal. I've been floating for a long time, and I wouldn't mind. And if it takes me until I'm 80 to be like, you know what, I want to do a thing, I mean, that will be impressive considering I would have been sitting down since 75. That's my only plan. But
you're charging up.
Yeah,
that's it. 5 years of rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that alone is just kind of enough to not, that made me understand that she started cycling at 80, made me understand why at 105 she's like, this isn't enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that's like 25 years of competitive stuff doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Connor, so you're a runner now. Do you feel like you're just going to follow in her footsteps for the rest of your life until you're 100s?
Literally, I had a vision of seeing her like out running and like me running one way, her running the other at her speed. I would probably start crying if I saw that.
Yes,
weeping. Yeah. How beautiful it is. No, yeah, I think it's fantastic, and it's inspirational to me, but I'm sure to a lot of people to see, you know, like people talk about it all the time of like at a certain point you just kind of like give in, and I never want to be that person. I always
want
to feel like I have something I'm striving for, something I'm learning that's new or a new goal in some way. So to see a 105-year-old doing it, I'm like, it's possible, it's right there, never forget this moment.
All right, ladies and gentlemen of Fake the Nation, please look up this article in The Guardian and let me know if it has changed anything about like what you're going to do. Or did you send it to your parents? Send it to your parents. Okay, let me know what you think. Shalewa, Connor, that is the end of the show. I am so happy that you were here with me today. This was so fun, and I would love for the people of Fake the Nation to be able to find all of the stuff that you do. Shalewa, where do they do that?
I'm on pretty much all of the social medias, the important ones anyway, at Silky Jumbo, all one word, traditional spelling. And
but really, yeah. What is your handle on Parler? Well, that's what everybody wants to know.
It's Silky Jumbo with a zero.
Connor, where do they find you?
I am also on all the social media platforms at Connor Franta, N-N-O-R, the right way to spell it. Ding. And you can pre-order you can order, I guess, my new book at ConnorFrantaBooks.com. Go pick up a copy anywhere books are sold.
And let's not forget to remind them about your album, Shalewa. I forgot to force
to tell everyone about my album. I've got a couple of albums. I have one called Stay Eating Cookies, and I have one called So You Just Out Here. And if you are in the New York area, keep your eyes peeled. I have a solo show called Don't Reach in the Bag that I'm doing all over the place whenever I can.
Oh my gosh, so busy. Both of you are so remarkable. And let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get into it with another topic. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app, and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a roundabout 8-exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And now we're ready for topic number two. For this topic, I'm joined by a podcast host and actor, James Arthur. Hey, James.
Hey. Hello, hello.
We're also joined by legendary comedian Bobcat Goldthwait. Hey, Bobcat.
Hi. Legendary is always, I feel like Paul Bunyan.
Are horseback during this podcast, so I feel like that's
the legend of accurate. Bob Scratch Goldfarb, the legendary. He was an ornery comedian once licked his weight in Wildcats
and saved the rainforest. There's always something wild that they also did. And help the sun rise. We're talking like the year 5000.
And they also had like always a lucky piece of an animal's body in their pocket. This is my lucky deer tail or whatever that they just questionably kept on their person.
And then it became all the fashion and rage, and that's why no deer have tails anymore.
And then that is the point of my entire podcast. I've reached it. Thank you for making that point. Okay, let's get into today's ridiculous topic, which is the fake food trend. Retro fake gelatin salad lamps, melting ice cream cones, dolls made of plastic sausage parts, and simple old school wax fruit. These are apparently all the rage. Guys, what do you think of the fake food trend?
Are these vintage or are these brand new?
Well, some of these things are straight up like the gelatin salad lamp, the famed gelatin salad lamp.
I've always wanted to do, although it'd be horrible, but just like a video where you're trying to explain a bowl of wax fruit to a Biafra child. Like, you're going, no, we don't eat this. This is pretend. Get that out of your mouth.
The progeny of Jello Biafra? Is that what this is?
No, don't eat it. That's for decoration. We have so much food, we make decorations out of it.
So much we love it. Oh, yeah, that is kind of, I mean, there are such people who are out there struggling, and we're like, look at all my fake food.
Yeah, not only can I afford real food, I've got a lamp made out of a fake pineapple.
I mean, obviously, this was one of those ridiculous trending stories on the New York Times publication that maybe you've heard of. Now, one thing that I learned by reading this publication, which seems obvious, and I can't believe I never knew this. There's a thing of fake wedding cakes where you put out a fake wedding cake at your wedding, and the thing that people eat is cut up is a real cake, but it's just less beautiful or whatever.
Okay. And that way it's just quick because they're like, we're so fast, our society, like, get this cake out, let's take the photo, boom, bop, beep.
But something, right. And I had no idea that was a something. Now, look, there's some theories as to why this fake food trend is happening. And one of them, and also it's in line with something called cottagecore, which is just like people making everything seem like it's in a cottage.
Oh, okay. Like,
and sun dappled and very country, but still, you know. And then there's something called Grand Millennial, where millennials, you know, sister of cottagecore, where millennials, you know, really investigate the doily side of their beings. Huh. These are fashion trends. We talked about something called, what was it called? It was called, like, you know, fairy tale core or something, where people were dressing as fairy tale characters. So this is all something that's happening here in 2021.
It's awesome. Very whitey white, but I'm going with you. Not to shame these people. But, you know, I will say, though,
gelatin salad lamps are from a Latino company.
Okay. All right. Like Latinx coming up. Yes. I mean, it's for everybody. Listen, fake food is for everybody because, as the article pointed out, is that this dates back to like 18th century, even like ancient China. Like, it's a thing that us as humans, we love having like fake food around. I think out of like all of the trends, I'm like, you know what? Let them eat cake, or let them eat fake cake, or look at fake cake. Like, it's,
or let
I'm
them
like,
touch fake cake.
Let touch fake cake. I will say though too, I don't, I like a fake fruit bowl just because like sometimes if you, I want to present like it is, it's a nice thing to like, oh, look, there's fruit, but don't eat it. That's not like the real stuff. But it's like for decoration. And I like a fake plant because I'm known to murder,
kill
or not
plants.
Water. Or just let them die. I don't,
you
choose
know,
your own adventure.
The fake plants are almost never out of style, right? Yeah, they're always true. A part of the firmament. And now it's whether or not fake fruit are in a bowl or not. And you know, and everyone has a story where they thought a fake fruit was a real fruit and they take it to their mouths or whatever.
Yeah,
or they just grab hold and You mean
it's part of the plastic.
Fun. Yeah.
Careful when you're saying fake fruit.
Like, has QAnon taken on fake fruit to make something else?
Oh man, those fruits are a deep fake in that Instagram.
I think there's a when I think of a bowl of fake fruit, it feels good to me, believe it or not.
Yeah,
it has
it
a nostalgic
nice.
Feel. Mm. It feels warm. And it's just a nostalgia that never existed. I don't think my mother ever had a bowl of fake fruit, you know.
Right, a nostalgia of someone else's that somehow got
of
infected.
Pictures you saw.
Yeah.
Because those pictures are not real fruit. And two, like, I have a fruit bowl. We put, like, real fruit in it all the time, and it gets nasty. We get little fruit flies buzzing around, and, like, you will not have to deal with that. I'm on board. In fact, I'm going to, where do I make investments at? Is there a stock exchange I can run to?
All my money
in fake fruit, please, sir.
I'm putting my money in fake fruit flies.
Oh, okay.
You put them on your fake fruit, and they go.
Did you know, by the way, that if one way of getting rid of flies from your immediate area, I don't know if this is totally for real, is you could put in a glass of water, like in a wine glass of water, put a bunch of coins, and the flies think that those coins are like the eyes of other bugs. And so they stay away. Have you heard of this?
No.
All right. The part where I call bullshit on this story is when someone figured out what the fly was thinking. So why did you leave? You left so abruptly. Did you see the eyes on that giant fly? Aha. Uh-huh.
They must have thought it was a giant fly. They ran away. Science. What if your science listeners will tweet at you or email you and let you know if this is true? Let us know, science listeners.
I know. I know. By the way, I love that we're calling them science listeners, which is like
science listeners.
The most
so maybe the flies
actually term.
Maybe the flies are just like, this person's putting money in a wine. This is a coup.
These people are nuts.
I'm out of
here. Let's get out of here. These sandwiches aren't going to be good.
I don't want this fruit. That's what they're eating. I'm out.
Yeah.
Now, let me inject a note of actual critical thought about this trend of fake food. Again, why are we talking about this? It's so, so dumb. But here it is. That first of all, that it's a pandemic reaction, okay? Yeah. And that the people want to find creative and playful ways to add brightness and vibrancy to their space, said someone who was interviewed in this piece. Yeah. And faux food is an easy way to inject a sense of freshness into that space. And then here's the other thing. Well, that's one. Do you guys feel like throughout the pandemic you've wanted to inject a playfulness into your life?
I would say
as a reaction to the pandemic.
I would say that the whimsy factor is strong on the fake fruit. There's a definitely some kind of whimsy behind that.
I mean, have you indulged in any kind of whimsy, Bobcat? And what does whimsy look like for you?
Yeah. What's
no, I've kind of just, I've just hunkered down. Although I have been, I have, I moved out to the woods and I've been pricing fiberglass dinosaurs. Yeah.
Wow. By the way, knew where that was going. It was going to fiberglass dinosaurs. I could have just said that myself. I didn't even need to ask you.
It turns out, you know where they gouge you? It's the shipping. That's what I'm learning. Because I found very reasonable ones.
Wait, how big are these fiberglass dinosaurs?
Oh, I want them to be like, you know, huge. Like, yeah, I'm looking at like 50 feet tall.
Whoa, Jesus.
Yeah, I was thinking like little figurines. I was like, oh, can you show us one?
No, I
felt immediately that he was talking about something large, but I was thinking more like 12 feet, not 50 feet, which is even larger than I could possibly imagine.
It's just this idea to put it out in the woods where you don't see it even from the house. And then you have a kid, and kid comes over to visit, and you just blow their minds. It would be so fun.
I will definitely bring my daughter there the minute you get a fiberglass dinosaur.
Right? And just be like talking about, hey, what's this? And then just, you know, don't even mention that you have a dinosaur.
James, have you injected any whimsy into your life?
During the pandemic, Lovato, not at all. Like, I think my only whimsy is I call it anything but that. So, like, Pandemic Anderson, the Panini Quest,
nice.
Yeah, that's replay.
Oh, I like that whimsy. It was very word-based.
But, like, I think I honestly had just my reaction. I've just been working a lot for the last, like, 2 years. I have overfloated. That's a word. Don't get me. What are your linguists out there? Your linguists are going to...
I wouldn't have called it. I would have just thought that's something people are saying.
Overfloated.
Now.
Like,
do not follow me. Like, I looked at a list of like Billboard's like 50 top albums of like the year. I have phased out of what popular. I had not listened to a single one of those albums. I knew who
James.
Three of
the first
were.
Thing I thought when I saw you on the Zoom call today was like, he's so old and out of touch. It's like literally, I was like, that's the first thought.
I'm part of the millennials who are we're getting to 40 here.
Look,
now.
It was
grand millennial.
Yes,
it was
I'm a
like
grand millennial.
It was like the late 80s, and I didn't know who the guest hosts were on Saturday Night Live. That's how dated I am. I'm like, I don't know what you
You're
a sports figure.
Which is also really weird because one of the things that I learned about you by watching your film Joyride that's now available streaming everywhere is that you opened for Nirvana in the 90s, right?
Wow.
And you were like new Kurt Cobain, which to me leads me to believe you were at like the height of pop culture knowledge because you were around those dudes.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I was at the... I was at the Unplugged taping.
The famous Unplugged taping.
And I remember because it was cool. And then they did that song, you know, Where'd You Sleep Last Night? It's very chilling. And
not whimsical, like a fiberglass dinosaur.
Like a fake fruit bowl.
I was like, oh, yeah, this is cool. This is all right. This is cool. And then they did that. And I remember the hair standing up on my arm. And they go off stage. And then they're like, and Kurt's like, they're like, hey, well, you going to go out for an encore? And I said to Kurt, I was like, you're not going to top that. And you saw all these like MTV executives and recording, all these people that you could smell their stomach acid. Like, why don't let that idiot. Those are more songs we could market, you know. And I was like, okay, you know, don't go out there. And he's like, okay,
That's hilarious that you got in the way of MTV's grand plans. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, there could have been a cover of Sweet Home Alabama or something in the Nirvana arsenal.
And the alternate
you ruined
timeline.
It for all of us. Okay, folks, that is all we're going to say about Nirvana and fake fruit. Yes, both of those ended up in the same segment. What? Deal with it.
I need more whimsy. I'm going to start doing the fake food fashion trend or whatever it is. And Bobcat, I would love for you to join me. And we will
take
photos and send them to each other because neither of us are doing social media. So y'all are going to miss out.
I'm going to need you to actually print them out and mail them to each other. That's what I'm going to need you to do.
It's a pen pal, a fake food. It's very specific pen pal. Right. Like, I got to buy a printer.
I'm going to. I have smoke signals.
Ooh, okay, we're going real retro.
Because, you know, that's what I do all day.
You just have to be in rural outposts of Chicago to see the smoke signals.
As soon as the Zoom is off, I'm gonna go fuck up a tree.
I'm gonna go
chop a tree down. Because now that the leaves are gone, I can see all the widow makers. You know, the dead trees that are gonna fall over. So I'm gonna go chop wood.
Is.
That's not a euphemism for anything.
I believe we have hatched a plan here on Fake the Nation. So I would really love for listeners to be able to follow you in all of the work that you do, James. Where do they do that?
Yeah, so make sure to subscribe to Minority Corner podcast, where we dive into pop culture, news, history, all from an intersectional lens. We have a lot of fun. It's like this. It's pretty much this. This is the same show. and then you can also, I guess, you can follow me on Instagram. I'm not really selling this. I'm at James
Don't
Arthur
feel-
M. Am I supposed to? I need a follower
yes.
too.
Don't feel dirty.
And also you can catch me. I sometimes host things for Marvel Entertainment. Most recently hosted the Marvel Eternals premiere. So you can catch me there too.
Oh, ooh, fancy fans.
Very fancy.
The whole cast. Had a moment with Angelina. I also have a movie, I forget. It's on Amazon Prime and it's on Apple TV. It's called Shit and Champagne. I play the character of Sergio.
Shit and Champagne! The best title I've ever heard of a movie. Shit and Champagne. Definitely watch that. I will be watching
film.
It.
Oh
my
God. It's like a draxploitation, so check it out.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. Bobcat, where do you want people to follow you?
Well, I'm, I'm... VHS comedian in a TikTok world, so
look out for his look to the sky for his smoke signals.
Is that the title of your next special? Because I love that.
No, it should be, but I'm so I'll be selling VHS copies of my stand-up specials outside in my trunk of my car. Joyride is a documentary with myself and Dana Gould that you can get on Amazon or iTunes, anywhere you stream stuff. And I'm busy. I'm out in the woods here, but I wrote a children's movie, so that will hopefully be the next thing I'll go make.
And Bobcat, who does a terrible job of like of talking about himself at all, is also has directed basically all of your television that you watch, and this movie Joyride. I just saw it and I just enjoyed it so much, and it's also just like watching two comedians at the peak of their powers is just like next level enjoyable. So definitely watch that. Folks, that is the end of our hardcore holiday episode. Thank you so much for listening. I want to thank our wonderful producer, Danielle Jones-Wesley, our fantastic sound engineer, Stephanie Aguilar, and all the wonderful people at HeadGum that make this show possible. Our theme music was written by Gabby Alter. As always, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can email us at fakethenation@headgum.com. You can join the Patreon for bonus content and so much more at patreon.com/NagineFarsad. And next week, in 2022, we'll be back in your earballs with more.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.